Welcome. This is Tar Heel 24/7, a UNC basketball podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Tar Heel 24/7 on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Man, lock us in, man. We're just getting started in this kind of summer series. And without further ado, I want to welcome in international basketball scout Ersin Demir. Thanks for coming on, man. We got an international flavor at Carolina. It seems like that's kind of the wave coming in with college basketball now that you can kind of grab pros. So how's it been now that colleges are paying these pros, and what's that been like just overall internationally?
Hey, first of all, John, I'm honored, man, by the invitation. So thank you that I'm able to go beyond here today. And it's going to be a long-winded answer because there's two sides to it. Mm-hmm. As a European fan, I don't like it at all, man, because the European League is changing. All these clubs are losing their best talent to college programs. So maybe these clubs are in a situation where they try to hide these guys so that college programs can coach them and lure them to the United States with big money, big contracts. But the positive is for college program, I think college basketball is at its highest level ever.
Right.
Quality on all levels is rapidly increasing, man. It's because, you know, it's a combination of the top tier talent, and Division I is not taken for granted anymore. Older guys, ready guys, and then Americans are fighting it out with Europeans with the rest of the spots. And there's winners and losers, man. I think this generation, I think Europeans have some better players, but then America will make up for lost ground in the next couple of years. Who knows what's going to happen? But as a personally, I don't like it that much. Yeah. But in terms of a college basketball fan, of course, man, this is what NL meant to be for, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this year, I mean, you know, I love the NBA and the playoffs are awesome. And I love the competitiveness. But, like, you want to talk about, like, high-level basketball, like, college basketball is kind of becoming the pros, essentially, in a smaller scale, obviously. But they're just getting kind of really good international guys, too. I mean, you saw Illinois this year, like, all those international guys. And you're just seeing, you know, even on Arizona, they've got the kid, a couple international guys as well. Yep. So Carolina's taking on this path. So let's get into it. Can we talk about UNC's latest commitment, Samadurov, Alexander Samadurov? You know, is he a capable day one guy? Kind of what are his strengths, any concerns? Because the fans kind of want to know, because you're locked in on this.
Nah, I don't think he's going to be a starter from day one. I think he shouldn't. Because if I look at his career, the talent has never been a question. It's also been he's playing for Panathinaikos. They won the EuroLeague last year. This season was not that good for them. But he doesn't have a path to play because he's playing behind much older guys, much more experience. And his win now, right? So a young guy like that really have to have outlier skills. And loaning these guys out to other clubs. He's always stayed there. And he's never been playing more than 50 minutes a game. I think it was 2-3 seasons at least. The talent never been there. He's playing for the Greek national team, you know, at Eurobasket as well. But in terms of consistent minutes, yeah, that's something that he didn't really have. Unless he kills it in practice in the summer, yeah. Man. But in terms of, yeah, looking from the situation he's been in the last couple of years, consistency in his minutes is going to be vital. And I'm looking more of him as a floor-stretching 4-5, more of a skill player, rather than that interior presence, man. Of course, he has the length, he has the size. But, yeah, guys like him, you know, it's kind of like, not to compare these guys, but Wembanyama was in hell against Mitchell Robinson because Mitchell Robinson is much stronger than him.
Yeah.
And for Samadurov, he's going to be adjusting to a much more physical college game. I think for all these Europeans, it's actually the same thing. And for Samadurov, long-winded answer here, but I don't think that North Carolina fans should expect a lot from him, especially early on. But during the season, he's going to grow in his role and it's going to make an impact for sure.
Nice. So do you think he has like the three-point capability of shooting maybe over 37-40%? Or like, is that still developing? Or is it like, what's his one kind of skill that you think is going to translate to the college game?
I think the screen and then the pop or the dive, man. Because if you look at this game, the lack of consistency in his minutes take away all value of the shooting numbers. The shooting numbers are bad, but let's say it's 40%. I would still say the same thing because he's not playing consistent minutes. If he's shooting 30% for 20 minutes a game, that's good. I'll take it. But if it's 40%, I was like, no, man, that 40% is kind of inflated. Maybe he had a good game, a couple of games. Because as of now, man, but he's projected to be a shooter. That floor space, 4-5, but there's a screen and dive. I think him and playing him next to another center would make a lot of sense. Kind of a traditional approach with the horns, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, all these good college programs lately are playing with two centers.
Yeah.
And Michigan has really stepped up that to the next level with multiple forwards. You know, it's just, I think it's going to be a trend. So that's why I like North Carolina's pickups with Samadurov. Bring in an extra blend of skill and that shooting prowess. But the shooting is, yeah, man, it's just, I'm telling you that this product is awesome, but yeah, you haven't seen it yet. It's kind of in a similar situation with it.
Yeah, you know, the two big thing, I think, is a big thing in college. I mean, obviously, you see, like, I mean, I had Coach Williams, and he said you can't win a championship without two bigs, which it kind of went away, but now, obviously, the two big game, because what colleges are doing now, which is why I think the Carolina fans are a little concerned. They get the big bruiser, rebounder guys. And so if you miss a shot, like, Michigan got 40% of their offense, you know, 40% of their shots back. And that's why they were also so good. So, you know, with Samadurov, and now, you know, we'll move on to Kita, Sion Kita, you know, like Sama was on the thinner side, 6'11", 215. How do you think he's going to fare against these grown men, right? Because now college is grown men. I mean, these dudes are staying, making millions of dollars, obviously, when you're a high-level big. So what do you think about him as a prospect? You know, where does he excel, and maybe where does he need to get better?
I think Kita clears between the two. I think he's one of the best center prospects in Europe at the moment. But he's still, I don't think he's raw, because if you look at the size and how he moves, that's always been the case with him. And he's more of a defender, man. And if you compare his game, I think he should be more of that rim deterrent, that shot blocker. But yeah, he really has to grow into his body. So that's why I'm not really sure how his game is going to translate, man, because he's going to play for North Carolina.
Yeah.
If he goes to a random mid-major program, not that much pressure, it's different. But yeah, man, this guy should learn through mistakes, but he's going to a program where he can't make any mistakes, if that makes sense. I think it's similar if you play for Kentucky or Duke. It's just, you know, it's the top of the top. You're playing for a blue blood, so you have to be ready from day one. But Keita is not ready for day one. But among the two, I think Keita is going to be fantastic in college. I hope he will stay for year two. Mm-hmm. And that's where the talent should really pop. But he's still, in my opinion, growing into his body. He's slim, you know, with thin legs. That frame is still need to be filled. Mm-hmm. But how he moves, man, it's just fantastic. You know, the natural instincts, the shot blocking. But yeah, put him in against more of a bruising traditional four, traditional five. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be shoved out of the way. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, tough to play that way. I think you can play with that to a certain degree, but yeah, we've seen it in the playoffs, man. I think every team should have a guy like Mitchell Robinson. I keep naming that example because, yeah, everyone's copied the winning catch, right? So that's why the Knicks are kind of my example here. So if they give Keita minutes with more guys with strength among him, I think he will be good. But yeah, that's, you know, him adjusting to college. But he has that agility. Lateral pace and how he moves. I think he will, you know, find himself some baskets, opportunities, etc. But in terms of, you know, being a starter, which I think he should be, that might take some time.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Samadurov and Key to kind of stay and develop, or maybe that was the plan, right? Like Coach Malone's like, listen, you know, maybe we'll get you here year one, develop you, see how you do, then year two. I think if they both stay, they block, you know, they could blossom, but that's just not the game anymore. Like, you know, who knows? Kata could get approached by Kentucky and they say, what's UNC giving you? All right, we'll give you more. Like, and then we lose, we develop to lose them. So do you think that these guys are thinking like, hey, look, I'm going to stay and develop? Or do you think, especially Kita, who could be a first round draft pick if he looks probably halfway decent, what do you think he's going to do? You think he would stay, or is he a future first rounder guy next year? What do you think his development arc is?
Nah, I think I'm not going to talk for all these guys, but as a European, these guys don't care about the brand that they develop. They go for the money, of course. It's NIL. Yeah. That's the other side of the coin. Yeah. I think the loyalty part should be if you play for an elite coach, like if I was playing for Michigan for Dusty May, I wouldn't lose that situation for anything. Yeah. And with Coach Malone, he won a championship, man, in the NBA. And everyone's looking up to Jokic, following that example. If this guy coached Jokic, I can learn everything.
Right.
So I think that's the value that should keep him in North Carolina. But again, if you move from North Carolina, where do you go?
Right.
I don't see a situation where a guy from North Carolina goes to, you know, with all due respect, a team in the Big East or something.
Yeah.
Maybe if they pay more money. But yeah, again, you're leaving this fan base, you're leaving Coach Malone, and you'll never get the same exposure anymore. Maybe, of course, the money matters, but he's not getting scraps, right? At North Carolina, he's being paid good money, I assume. Yeah. So how much satisfying?
He definitely, he wouldn't be over here if he wasn't getting paid good money, I'll tell you that. So
yeah, exactly. I think that's the reason. And that's part of the context, because if you're recruiting a local kid, 4-star, 5-star, of course, he has always dreamt about, you know, playing for the North Carolina Tigers. But for these guys, it could have been Barcelona that he's always been dreaming about with Keita. And with Samadurov, these Greek kids are really, you know, loyal, not patriot, but really loyal to their country. So Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, going there has already been their childhood dream.
Yeah.
So in North Carolina or in North Carolina Central, it wouldn't really matter to them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I seen Giannis literally the day he got off the plane. We worked out together. We played, we played one-on-one. And I don't think people understand how hard it is. I watched him, and he was in the NBA, right? And actually, he was probably making similar money to what guys are making now. He just was in the NBA. I don't think people understand how hard it is adjustment to go to a different country, right? And you know, I saw him struggle. He was, his family didn't get visas, couldn't come over. And so, you know, I wonder, you know, and you, maybe you could speak to this, like the adjustment to these European guys coming over here. Do you think people kind of don't understand how difficult kind of it is off the court and that could affect on the court? Like, we'll get into Abdallah in a second, but I think that was part of his, maybe his adjustment was being here.
Now, I was looking into that because Keita, he's born in Africa, in Mali, and then he went to Spain. So I think it's easier for him to adjust because he's already been to Spain from Africa. And then he's from Spain to the United States, should be easier. Mm-hmm. But for a guy like Samadurov, he's Greek, always played in Greece. Of course, it's going to be new.
Yep.
But I think that's where the value of coming from such a high-level team comes from, because he's playing with Americans for years. Mm-hmm. So these guys should always prepare for him. And I think he's talked to many of them even before, you know, committing to North Carolina. So that helps as well for playing for guys who has already been to college for 4 years, making a living there now. Like Kendrick Nunn, he's one of the best players in Europe at the moment. He's been in the NBA, he's been in college. I think this is the guy that will prepare him from day one to make life easier in terms of adjusting to a new standard of living.
Well, you know, listen, Kendrick Nunn, listen, I heard, Athens is a nice city, you know what I'm saying? So let's pump the brakes. If I had to go from here to Athens, like, I'd be okay, you know what I'm saying? So let's finally talk about Abdallah, man. Like, what, so I watched him, and I'll give you my kind of view on what I saw. I called a game, and all the talent in the world, I don't think he had an old school coach. He was an old school guy, right? I don't think he instilled that confidence. And then when the you know what hit the fan, they gave him the ball to say, go save us, right? And so much got put on him as so young, and I don't think the system was right for him. I think he's going to be so good at Carolina year two. So talk to me about him. What do you think about him as a player first in college, and what do you expect from this year?
It's going to be a long-winded answer because, you know...
We got time.
It's not really going to be long-winded, man, because I want to paint the picture, because the average fan will look at the numbers and say, hey, man, what's this? Why did we get this guy and he's going to be the savior of North Carolina? And the fun part is, if I look at, you know, Virginia Tech, you know, Chester Frazier, one of the best assistant coaches in college. He played in Europe as well. He understands the game. I don't know if he's the guy recruiting him or not, but I think he should. Mm-hmm. He must have been, you know, in terms of, you know, selling the American system to him, knowing what to look for. But coming back to Abdallah from a couple of years ago, he's always been tall and always been athletic. Mm-hmm. And that's why European basketball is in the bad situation. You've always been put in a box. A 6'8 guy will never be a guard in Europe because he's 6'8. Mm-hmm. Guys at 6 foot or below 6 foot will be guards. And Abdallah was always being put as more of a three, but that's not his game, because, but again, At the same time, it is because he's so athletic, but he feels like he's a guard. That's always been the emphasis with Abdallah. And that's why he wanted to go to college. But the system at North Carolina, sorry, the Virginia Tech was not for him.
Yes.
Zero to no floor spacing, so guys could easily, you know, pressure him because, yeah. Okay, attack us off the dribble, man. Just make it happen. With college spacing, it's really tough to consistently get your way to the paint without outlier speed or, you know, with outlier physicality. This is not a guy who will rely on brute strength, but if he has some floor spacing around him, it will make life easier because teams will have to gamble. Okay, do I try to run him off the line or do we drop a little bit? He's going to be a maestro in big role, that I'm sure of, because for 6'8", I love the handles. He's creative. He's looking for a tough pass. The execution is not always consistent, but again, he's never been in a, put in a situation to play as a guard. And he was playing for Paris Terry. It's kind of, you know, if I put it as the top seven team in Greece, that should basically be it. They have some good years, they have some bad years. But with him, they were a good team. They were playing European competition. And he was slowly earning his stripes as a young kid against all these guys from, against all these family men, actually, who basketball is just their income. And they don't want to lose their starting job to an 18, 19-year-old kid. That's the way it is, right? So. Yeah. Now, Dallas, now, I'm not going to say he was taking that lunch money, but yeah, he's kind of growing into the coach not able to ignore him anymore.
Yeah.
And so long-winded answer, but yeah, the lack of floor spacing at Virginia Tech and that very traditional approach of half-court heavy, just like how Virginia used to play. Let's play every possession for 30 seconds and score 50 and then win the game. Yeah, that's not really a situation where you should use a guy like Dallas. But if you're looking to more, you know, shift, you know, play with more pace, more creativity, with more role versatility, where Abdallah can be the on-ball creator, but also use his screening and his size and athleticism to advantage, he's going to be much more productive. I think he's going to kill it in year two. But again, I'm kind of biased because I want this guy to succeed. So that's kind of the context that I wanted to give there as well.
Yeah, I sat there watching him, and I mean, I got an up close look a few times, and. Yeah, I mean, he and another thing about him, and maybe Kenneth, because you've seen him more, he wants to play the game the right way, right? He wants to pass, make the right play. He doesn't want to – he's not necessarily a guy that wants to go get 30 points. He just wants to play the game and do what he does, maybe score, maybe pass. And like I said, you brought up a good point. The spacing was bad, but like I said, when things got bad, they would just roll the ball to him. And they say, hey, look, save us. And he's just not at that point. That was a lot of pressure on him to save it. Like, you know, he'd have to hit a, you know, he'd take a couple threes. Maybe he didn't want to and stuff like that. So I think with Coach Malone, man, I think he's going to utilize him so well because I think he should be the focal point of the attack, right? Pro game, get a guard on pick and roll, get a switch, get him in the post, you know, get him in situations to where he has the advantage. So, you know, with Coach Malone, you know, I kind of want to move on to him. In international circles, you know, kind of what is his reputation, especially like for his work with the Joker, obviously, and just how he's been over in Europe, you know, the past few months and years?
I don't know. I think it goes two ways. Mm. Because I always approach it like this. I think the quality of coaching is top tier on both ends.
Yeah.
But the culture is different. I don't think European coaches can survive in America, not because they're not good enough. I think they're certainly good enough. And there are some few examples of guys like Igor Kokoschkov. He's, you know, basically started assistant and then worked as a coach, etc. But that's more of the example because all these, I think the players, that's where it all ends because European guys are tough coached. They're accustomed to being yelled at, etc., etc. But especially in today's age of, you know, everyone earning their money. And, of course, that's a good thing. Even high school players are signing contracts, you know, earning money. I think that with that high school guys, Beckham Black, I'm happy for him. But it's crazy that high school kids are getting that type of contracts, actually. And a guy like him won't accept being yelled at by a coach who doesn't have English as a native language, let's be honest. So I don't think that European coaches can work in the United States because of that. Because all these guys are going to be checked out now. I was like, what's wrong with this
I'll
guy?
You I'll give you an example. I went to Puerto Rico. Now, I wasn't Europe, but the coach I had, he had coached in Europe for a while, kind of all over. He came to Puerto Rico, And you make a great point. Now, it wasn't necessarily me and him had issues, but one time I was talking to a teammate about a defensive assignment. We weren't talking about where we're getting dinner at, right? And he was like, shut up. I'm like, whoa. You know, like, but that's the culture. That's he's like, shut up. I was like, whoa, I'm talking to my teammate about the coverage. Like, we're not talking about going out to get drinks tonight. You know what I mean? Because in the NBA, you're allowed to problem solve and talk through it, and the coaches want to kind of be with you, you know, and hey, look, figure it out amongst yourself. Where the culture in Europe, which I had a European coach, was like, shut up and listen. So it's, I'm sure Abdallah and the guys are going to enjoy that difference. Yeah. In the coaching per se from a European standpoint.
Yeah, not being yelled at anymore. Treating those kids. Yeah. And I think it's kind of changing because the guy who went to Memphis from Paris basketball, the Finnish coach, blank on his name, Tom Lisalo, I think it was.
Yeah.
The offensive system, that's where he kind of made a name for himself. And all these young guys, you know, from 30, 40, they are, you know, understanding more of the assignment. But these old head, these traditional guys, they have no chance. But in terms of Coach Malone, it's going both ways because I think all these coaches are stealing each other's place. Yeah. I think Popovich admitted it back in the day that, you know, you have Zeljko Obradovic. He's a Serbian. He's one of the best coaches ever, in my opinion. And Popovich kind of, you know, admitted a couple of times that he stole a couple of his place for the Spurs, which he used. And it goes two ways, man, because, yeah, why are some European teams so successful? Because they find the good American center, just like, Kyle Hines. He went to UNC Greensboro, one of the best centers in European basketball, at 6'6". It's crazy because the fundamentals immediately pop from day one. Or a guy like David Batiste. He's more of, I think it's 15, 20 years ago. He's more of an older guy. But these guys, you know, in terms, they bring the athletic difference. If they can adjust to the more of the fundamental side of the game and use their athleticism to their advantage, of course, man, these American coaches are going to try to see what they can learn. But it goes both ways, in my opinion. I think Malone embracing the European game is more so a result of him winning with Jokic, him trying to understand him more. Because, of course, a guy like him is out there. I would be crazy and I would be not realistic if I say, okay, man, guys like Jokic will come every 10 years or something. Of course, he's one of a kind. But having coached a guy like that and trying to understand more of the system where he comes from. Because Serbia is a country of, what, 6-7 million people, maybe more, but it's not a high number. But in every sport, they basically kill it. So I think in the
States, we got some boys come out of Serbia. For it to be six, I didn't know it was 6 or 7, but to have the amount of athletes coming out of that country is pretty impressive.
Yeah, maybe it will be more because I don't know. I don't know either. But it's crazy. They're a small, relatively small country. I don't want to insult them in any way, but of course they're relatively in terms of, you know, size and in terms of number of people that live there. They're not a big country. They're a big country in terms of the impact that they have on sports. And for me. I think it's an international game everywhere nowadays. I think 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, the NBA was 80% American. Yeah. And I think we will go to a situation where 60% American, you will take it every day of the week because all these guys are losing their jobs, man. And it's just, you know, Canada is making a big run lately.
It's funny because, it's funny because, like, you know, when I was out of the league and I was looking at European jobs, I think Red Star was an option. Turk Telecom had called, a few clubs had called over there. And I was talking to guys and they said, the Euro League is going to get the NBA bigs and the NBA is taking the Euro bigs. They're flipping.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. Like, they were like, Euro wants the big guy down there protecting the rim, rolling, dunking. And the NBA wants the skilled bruise, you know, the skilled big body European guy. So it's crazy how it's flipped, right? Especially when I was out. So such an interesting thing, man. Look, anything else kind of about Abdallah? I would say, like, do you see him potentially having a type of year where he could be an NBA draft? Like, what do you think his pro prospects are? Is he a first-round guy to you? You've seen him more probably than a lot of people.
Yeah, man. I was all in on it, and I was wrong for that. But I'm owning it. Because before the season, I was like, this guy's going to be a lottery pick. And then he had that problem this game. I was like, wow, man, this is going to age well, like wine. But it aged like milk. I look like an idiot for saying he's a top 10 pick, but I stick behind it, man. I think he can be a first-round pick without any doubt, and it helps that he's playing for North Carolina now. Because, yeah, man, it's the blue blood tax. I always believe in that. NBA teams will deny that, but the blue blood tax is real. I think if a guy goes to Duke, goes to Connecticut, teams would pay the 20th pick for a 25th pick guy, five picks. I think that will always say the change. And for me, North Carolina, not because I'm on here today, but North Carolina will always be a blue blood. Teams like Indiana lost their reputation, but North Carolina can win for five more years. It will be still be the same because they're the pillar of college basketball, one of the pillars. So with Duke, Kentucky, of course, Kentucky lost Calipari, and they're still blue blood.
Yeah.
So Abdallah's doing well will earn him even more money potentially because, yeah, teams are going to pay the blue blood tax to get him. But if he has a good year at North Carolina, without any doubt, he's going to be a first-round pick. But he has a lot of ground to make up for.
Right.
Because that season at Virginia Tech was not good.
Yeah, I like that, the blue blood tax. I'm about to steal that from you. Got to pay that blue blood tax.
Feel free, man. Feel free.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, I think if he comes to North Carolina and he contributes to winning, you know, maybe won't be the leading scorer, but I do think that they're, you know, not to put too much pressure on him, but they're going to go as far as he takes them. I know they've got good players around, but if I know his talent level and I know I kind of know Coach Malone and his pedigree, I think he's going to put in some real exotic things for him and the team, especially they have the scoring guard Brown Jr. So they could put him off the ball, right, and have him. So it's going to be fun to watch, man. Look, I appreciate you coming on, giving us kind of the information. Because, look, we Carolina people, look, we got all the international guys. We need help kind of examining and you know, scouting and what we're getting. And you did that for us. I appreciate you, man.
It was an honor, man, again, John.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
I love it. Listening to you at Field of 68, man.
I appreciate you, man. No, for sure, man. I appreciate the love, man. So, hey, thanks for coming on and good luck. But as always, thanks for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com for the latest wall-to-wall covers of Carolina athletics. See you guys next time.